Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
So we go to Psalms 8. And what I love about Psalms 8 is that this is where we get a picture of what God was up to in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. And more interesting, when he made man. When you say that Jesus is the author, then you're saying that he's the beginning. You're saying that when you go all the way back into eternity past, he was there. That Jesus's origin doesn't start in Bethlehem. It doesn't start in the womb of the Virgin Mary. I love what John 1:1 says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 14 says, and the Word was made flesh, tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. Psalms 8 gives us this picture of what God was up to when he made man. I think it's so important that we go back and look at, why did God make man in the first place? Why am I here? Am I an accident? Am I a mistake? You know, you might be here tonight and say, I was not planned. Maybe you're here and you've never met your dad, and your mother carried you term, and here you are, and you wonder about your identity, and you wonder about your purpose. But I want to take your identity and the plan that God has for your life, I want to take it back further than your mama and your daddy, because I believe that it is God that ordained our existence. He told Jeremiah in chapter 1, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and I had ordained you. God knew Jeremiah's purpose before he was even conceived by his mother and his father. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Look at your neighbor and say, you are a purpose with a name. God doesn't make mistakes, and you're not overlooked because of your past, and you're not overlooked by the condition of your life right now. You may think that you're not offering anything to life or your family or society, but I want you to know that you are the apple of God's eye tonight, that he's numbered the very hairs that are on your head. He knows your existence. He bottles up every tear that you cry. He is well aware of you, and in this place tonight, you are going to come face to face with the love of God that was demonstrated through Jesus Christ, your Savior. It doesn't have anything to do with what you have to offer. It doesn't have anything to do with what you've got in the bank. It doesn't matter what clothes you're wearing. It doesn't matter what you smell like, look like, feel like. You are valuable to God. You are important to God. Man is so important to God that God said in James chapter 1, how dare you ever bless me with your lips and then curse a man who was made in my image. He said, these things ought not to be. Every person I'm speaking to tonight was made in the image of an almighty God. There is no important and unimportant children of God. The world baited us into this lie. I hear people say, well, you know, with God, race doesn't matter. God doesn't see color. That's just being deep. That's not true. God sees color because he made color. Why do we try to cover up and fix things up and make it like God didn't know what happened when he made white and black and shades in between? God knew exactly what he was doing. God was so big and so diverse and so amazing that when he made man, he couldn't make just one man and seal it all up in one color, in one shape, in one size, in one height, in one personality, in one characteristic, or in one attribute. He's so big, he had to make billions and billions of people that don't act like each other, that don't look like each other. And being that he made man from the dirt, you got white dirt, dark dirt, you hear what I'm saying to you, red dirt. You quit looking at people funny because they're not your color. Quit looking at people funny because they didn't grow up where you grew up. All man was made in the image of God, and there is no superior race with God. So there was this observation of God in the beginning that's recorded in Psalms 8. And so we'll look at it in verse number 3. Are you still in Hebrews 2? All right, watch this. When I consider thy heavens, oh man, I know the Lord is here. I see what's getting ready to happen. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained. Think about God making the stars and the moon and naming them. Anytime God gives something a name, that means he wants it to respond to him. When you adopt a pet and you go to the pound and you pick out a pup, the first thing you do is say, what are we going to call it? Why do you give the pup a name? So it will answer you when you call it. When it starts peeing on your rug, you need it to have a name. So God named everything so it would respond to him. Glory to God. Woo. He said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Let's read that question out loud. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Look, I believe that this is an angel that's speaking, and I could go deeper in this, but I won't, because we just need to stay right here. But I believe the angels who had been with God from the beginning saw the creation, because they were with God before creation. And God has created this place, you know, that goes beyond our knowledge, the galaxies. We're finding out there's billions of them, and God made them, and the sun and the moon and the stars and planet Earth. The Bible says that he made it to be inhabited. Scientists say we're in the Goldilocks zone, that if we were just a little bit closer to the sun, we would burn up. If we're a little bit further away, then we would freeze to death. And they're like, oh, isn't it amazing that the Earth just happened to be in the Goldilocks zone? Are you kidding me? The Creator put it there. And so the psalmist is recording what I believe was spoken by an angel, and said, when we consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you've ordained, what is man? I mean, you think about how small a man is in contrast to everything that God has created. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man, that thou visitest him. What are you up to, God, with this man that you can't get off your mind? What are you up to, God, with this man that you've made, that you have to visit? This man that not only have you made him, you visit him. Oh my goodness. I don't believe if God had not placed man on this planet, his spirit would not move on this planet. The reason his spirit moves in Shreveport, Bossier, or back in Ethiopia, to my friends right here on the front row that have traveled a long way to be here. The reason that the Spirit of God moves is because he visits man. Last year, my wife and I and James, along with some others, had the honor of being with Gabe in Ethiopia and in Tanzania. And when one of the first stops is we visited a little church that was what was made literally out of mud on a hilltop in Ethiopia in the middle of nowhere. And it was just a little shack that was made of wood walls and a tin roof. And we walked up, and folks started coming all out of the villages with their plastic chairs. They were bringing their chairs to church, and it was a mud floor, and they put the chairs down. And then the song leader walked up, and they all began to sing and just minister to the Lord. And we were there, and we did not know their language, but yet we were just crying and embracing the presence of God in this little mud hut in Ethiopia. I'm like, my God, we bring in all these lights and sound and turn the air conditioner on and buy the best seating to make the environment so comfortable, and we praise God and we experience his presence. But I want you to know that wherever somebody is magnifying the name of Jesus, his presence is there. You don't have to be in an elaborate arena like this. I felt the tangible touch of God while we were there in Africa. Why? Because God visits man. We heard last night from Stephen, who was hooked on meth and was sitting on his bedside with meth on the bedside table. And there's the drugs that he's not only using, but producing and giving to others. And the Spirit of God moved right where he was. And he called out on the name of the Lord. And instantly he was made free from a drug addiction that had held him in bondage since he was 13 years old. Why? God visits man. You don't have to be in church for God to visit you. You don't have to be dressed up for the Lord to visit you. Listen to me. He will show up in your jail cell. He will show up with you driving down the road. There's no place that he can't come and minister and meet you. And he's not intimidated by any atmosphere. He'll pull you off a bar stool in the club. A place that no preacher would ever walk into, the Spirit of God will hop right up in there. That's why you can't run from him. That's why you can get out of church and he'll still talk to you. That's why you can leave this city and he'll still minister to you. That's why you can leave your mama, your daddy, your family, your friends, and go to a place where nobody knows your name, and God will call your name in the midnight hour, because he visits man. We need not ever forget that God visits man. Woo. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why you got man on your mind? I got a text from a dear friend of ours, Michael, in Jerusalem, Israel. Pastor, hate we couldn't be with you this week. Want you to know we're praying for you. Want you to know that we love you and we're standing in faith for God to do something amazing in your city. When I read that text, it literally moved me. I was like, who am I that I'm thought about in Jerusalem? Who am I that I'm thought about by an amazing man who has an amazing ministry on the other side of the globe? Who am I that I would be on his mind? Who am I that I would be on his mind? Listen to me. You may think about somebody and you send them a text or you give them a call. Man, thank you for calling. Let me give you some information. God has you on his mind. What is man that thou art mindful of him? This had the psalmist perplexed. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? You leave heaven and you visit him in earth. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Hebrews explains that for death reasons. And has crowned him with glory and honor. Crowned him with your glory. Overshadowed him with your glory. The angels never got that. You gave him honor. The angels never got that. That's what Hebrews 2 is going to say to us. Thou madest him to have dominion. Read that out loud. Thou madest him to have dominion. You can't use the word dominion and not bring up kingdom, because the kingdom of God is the dominion of God. And the first gift God ever gave man in Genesis 1:26 was a dominion. He gave him dominion over planet Earth. He says, you have given him glory and honor, and you made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put, read it with me, thou hast put all things under his feet. That means that there's something above you, something that has you beneath it, something that has you bound. It's not the will of God. God put all things under your feet. There shouldn't be anything in this earth that has a hold on you. You ought to have a hold on it. Why? Because God made you to have dominion and everything be put under your feet. I was talking to Pastor Tyler 2 days ago, and we were talking about this and that and costs and expenses. And I said, hey, brother, let money serve you, don't serve you. God didn't make money to be above me. Mammon is not my God. I mean, money is not my God. It serves me. God didn't make anything to be above me. He made it all to be beneath me. We quote it all the time. We're just not living it. I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Where's my cigarette? I Don't walk out on me now. Everybody got something. Me is chicken, man. Fasting's the hardest thing I do. I got to eat some chicken. He said, you made him to have dominion. You put all things under his feet. Nothing, you shouldn't be in bondage to anything. Now go with me to Hebrews 2, because that was God's original plan. But let's now go to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to start in verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We just read that. Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. You remember reading that? Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. You've got more power than you realize. Now read the next statement carefully. Ready? Read. But now we see not yet all things put under him. God said, I made everything to go under you. I didn't make you to be oppressed by anything. I didn't make you to be in bondage to anything. But now we get to the New Testament, because Psalms 8 is a recording of how God made man, what his intention was. Hebrews 2 is now looking back on man, saying this is where we are. So what we've read is how God made man to be, but Hebrews 2 is saying, but this is the actual condition. That makes sense? So God didn't make man to be under anything, but yet Hebrews 2 and 8 is saying, but now we see not yet all things put under him. That means there are some things that have taken a place in man's life that God never intended to have power, but now it has it. And here we are, burdened and oppressed and yoked and distressed, and we're burdened down and we're yoked up and we're bearing this weight, and you can see it in our countenance, and you see it in our language, and you see it in the way we're feeling. I like to say it like this: we're oppressed, depressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in less, trying to pass yet another test. Why? Because we see not yet all things put under him. Don't stop reading, though, because verse 9 says, but always eradicates what came in front of it. If you're dating somebody and you say, you know, you're so sweet, you know, you're so kind, you've just been so awesome. If you hear the word but, you know this whole thing getting ready to go south. Because but takes out what came before it. But changes what came before it. My God. But will change that whole thing. So he says here, we see not all things put under him. So now it looks like man is the tail. Man is the bottom. Man is oppressed. Man is beneath. But when you get to verse 9, but. Somebody say, but. So in response to this place that man has found himself, but we see Jesus. So now I know why Jesus came. He came because man got beneath something that God never intended man to be beneath. Man got beneath the penalty of sin. Man got beneath the curse. Man got beneath sickness. Man got beneath bondage. Man got beneath anxiety. Man got beneath fear. Man got beneath. He got beneath man. He got beneath demons. He got beneath. And Jesus had to come to bring man out of that broken place. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now we understand what that language means. Crowned with glory and honor. That, read the rest. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So God said, because of the place that man got himself in, Jesus had to come. Jesus came to save me from that place. And make no mistake about it, that place is the grave. That place is death. That place is separation from God, where I don't know the Lord. I don't know His presence. I don't know love. I don't know joy. I'm separated from God by reason of my sin. So God was not satisfied to leave man in a place He never created him to be. In other words, right now, please hear me, please hear me. Right now, you may be living beneath God's best for you. That you could literally be doing life and have been doing life for 20, 30, 40 years beneath God's original plan and desire. So that when God is looking at you, He's saying, you're living beneath where I want you. I never made you to live like this. I never made you to be in bondage. I never made you to have that thing that you smoke, that you drink, that you inject in your body. I never made you to be in, I never made you to hate life. I never made you to contemplate suicide. I never made you to hate yourself. I never made you to go to bed depressed. I never made you to feel lonely and then like no one cares. That's not my original plan for you. And before I can see Jesus as the finisher of my faith, I have to know what it is that He offered. Religion has been bad about tearing us down because of where we are and making us feel worthless and shamed because of our sin and our brokenness, as if God is fed up with us and done with us. But yet there's no place in Scripture that a person that is broken with their life comes to Jesus pleading for mercy that he doesn't receive. The publican goes up to pray, and the sinner goes up to pray, and the one says, Father, thank you that I'm not like this sinful man. And the sinner says, Father, would you forgive me, a sinner? And Jesus says, that one's prayer is heard, not that one. Have we been guilty of being the church that talks right, dresses right, walks right, lives right, and then just gives no honor for the broken and the bound and the addicted or the homeless or the woman that sold herself out to the street or the young man that's hooked on drugs because this person is marked up and messed up and they don't look good and they don't smell good. They've got a foul mouth and they don't know how to dress, so we don't give them the time of day because we've taken on this mindset that they have no value. But I want you to know, God has never met a man He couldn't save, because He's never met a man He didn't love. So God is calling out. He's calling out to the broken. He's calling out to the depressed. He's calling out to the lonely. He's calling out to the sick. He's calling out to those that are broken. And He's saying, I want to visit you. This is not what I had planned for you. If this doesn't reach but one person that maybe today has been contemplating taking your life, if this doesn't reach but one person who today is in bondage to a lifestyle that has you broken and bound, I'm praying that that one person find out tonight that there is a God in heaven that is absolutely in love with you, and He's ready to visit you and bring you out of whatever that has you in bondage so that you can live the life that He offered.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.